roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
From the fight capital of the world, inside our beautiful home here in Las Vegas, it's the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George, and with me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, our ace co-host. What's up, Goz? How you doing on a Thursday, May 21st?
Not too bad. I slept wrong. My neck is all jacked up. I woke up and I was like...
Like you fell asleep like an old man watching TV?
I don't know what I did. I got my head stuck in between pillows or something.
Oh, so you properly turned everything off... Laid down, put the covers on top, fluffed the pillow, but somehow in the middle of the night, you just...
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I actually fall asleep in bad positions due to TV or, I don't know, the laptop. Sometimes you're waiting for something to download and boom, you go out. But anyway, look, we were with you guys about 24 hours ago. If you guys follow us over to Sportscaster on Wednesdays, we've been telling you about it, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. We actually do a third MMA Junkie Radio show there, except it's just in video style, video form. You can see us. So once again, that's www.sportscaster.com/MMA Junkie. All right, let's get going with today's show. We're just going to scan the news, see what's popped in the last 24, 48 hours, and, you know, we're going to chime in on it. And a couple of those little nuggets are going to be nice, you know, as we start to lay out the map for this summer.
The Counter, an NFL podcast from USA Today Sports, featuring For the Win's Stephen Ruiz and Chris Corman.
I know people are like just assuming that this is an upgrade at the quarterback position, but I don't think we could say that for a fact. I'd say it's a downgrade.
He never really had game-to-game impact, just coming off the edge and destroying people that we thought when we saw his athleticism in college and at the combine.
The Counter, diving deeper into the NFL with advanced stats, film study, and expert guests. This is The Counter.
Listen and subscribe to The Counter on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Goz, we covered this yesterday on Sportscaster. We talked about the odds, Francis Ngannou versus Jon Jones. They both have called each other out pleasantly. I think at times it started to, the gloves started to come off a little bit. No mom jokes yet. Tyson even said to Ngannou, and I don't know if he meant it specifically to Jones, but he was like, hey, amp this up a little bit, you know, your career. Not anything towards Jones or anything, but start getting us excited about fights. Start talking a little bit of trash. So we'll see if that happens. But look at this headline, analysis. So we do opinion pieces and analysis pieces. You know, a lot of it's, most of it's fact-based. We just deliver the news here at MMA Junkie, but we got some really talented people with some opinions we all respect. And just off the headline alone, would Ngannou knock out Jones quickly? Would he, Goz?
I think if he won the fight, that would probably be the way he did it. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
Almost how he won his last fight. Just comes forward, throws so much. Jon Jones goes, oh my God, I can't believe heavyweights actually throw this hard. Mm-hmm. And boom, he hits him.
Yeah. Especially because... Even as he's covering up and throwing back at him, I don't know that he's really much of a counter striker in the pocket, you know. Not while he's getting swatted at. I the other day I think I shared on Facebook one of our stories and I just said, look, I like Ngannou early and Jones late. I mean, that's as simple as it gets, right? Because Jones, for one, is a very talented fighter in the championship rounds. So if he can weather that early storm, which is where Ngannou is the most dangerous, then yeah, I would start to think this might go the way of Jones. But it would all depend on Ngannou's ability goes to distribute his energy over 25 minutes if need be, mm-hmm. or if he just goes for it. I don't know. That would be one of my concerns. Wrestling, well, I don't think you really want to take Jones down. I don't think he's that easy to take down. And it's not like Ngannou really, I just think his easiest path to victory is turning your lights off, you know? So to go through the whole series of taking you down, maybe burning energy if you don't get it, maybe feint a takedown or try one, but to commit to it too much, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's a ground and pound stoppage in there somewhere. But Jones is pretty big and he's pretty strong, even though he looks lanky, skinny, lean. It's any of those terms that those guys sometimes don't like.
It's interesting because if I were to lay out paths to victory, KO, then I think we all go, that's probably Francis.
Yeah.
And if we say decision, I think a lot of us will think it's probably John Jones. Submissions, probably John Jones. The one area that I don't think people talk about too much that you haven't seen Francis do a whole lot in fights are the leg kicks. When he throws them, they look like they hurt like hell. And John Jones, lately, I don't know if you've noticed, people have been doing that. They've been kicking his legs, and I think it slowed him down a little bit. If Francis could do something like that, then I think maybe in the later rounds he can get his KO. But for the most part, after like round two, I start to lean towards John Jones. Like, that's going to be his night.
Yeah. Every time Francis gets to sit on the stool and come out, I imagine that there would be a surge, and that would be a very dangerous surge or wave or whatever you want to call it. Francis's cardio is way better now than it was, for example, during the Miocic fight. And I still want to ask him point blank, hey, did the moment just take you over? Was that an adrenaline dump? Or was your cardio poor? If you remember, that's the time when he was in Vegas and flew back to Paris for whatever reason and then came back to the States. I think Dana White chided him a little bit about that. And I think he was still clearing his head and figuring out what team he was going to use, what coaches, what gym, where he was going to live. I don't know. But we have pretty good access to Francis at Extreme Couture. And I think we need to pay him a visit or I guess get our video on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. How about this one? Benson Henderson not quite ready to reflect on legacy. It was kind of cool talking to him the other day and just looking at all the names that he's beaten. He's got a WEC strap, goes. He's got a UFC strap, and he's got those extra belts because he defended it three times, if I'm not mistaken. And if he can get the Bellator title, what'd I say? Strap, yeah. That would be pretty impressive. He sometimes just gets shuffled to the side because he decisioned. A lot of people said his fights were boring or whatever. But when, you know, we haven't talked about lightweight goats in a while. And obviously, Habib's going to be at the top of the list now. Tony had a great, great resume, but, you know, he took that second loss, and it's a recent loss. You know, the sport's what have you done for me lately. BJ Penn forever will be linked to that division. So if you're doing your Mount Rushmores, he'll always go up. Pettis did have the two wins over Benson. Benson did have the two wins over Edgar. Edgar did have the two wins over BJ. It was like this whole
so weird
tail chasing thing.
Gilbert was close too at one point.
Gilbert had Strike Force and he had a Shooto belt. He was, you know, a Pride veteran as well. But yeah, but then he suffered some losses, kind of like BJ at the end of his career, kind of like how Pettis took some as well here. But we need to have a really, really good, Like the triple take, like the guys do on the page, something like a quadruple take, maybe quintuple take, where we all just get on a video stream and just say, all right, this is my guy. I'm going to make the argument, blah, blah, blah.
There's too much round robin, though. Mm. That's what's so weird about
that. But Benson definitely is in the top five of all time, right, of lightweights?
Top five, I could see it, yeah.
Alvarez, don't forget, had the Bellator title and the UFC title. And if he can get the one championship title, that would be pretty nice. Mm-hmm. He's got key wins, you know, over Gaethje, for example. But he's got a key loss to Conor McGregor. I haven't forgotten about Conor McGregor, folks. But he doesn't make it easy in those arguments because he beat Alvarez and that's it. Other than that, I think his 55 career is all over at Cage Warriors where he won a belt. But the Diaz fights were at 170. The Cowboy fight was at 170. Oh, sorry, the Khabib fight was at 155, but he lost that. You know what I mean? So
no title defenses, though. That's one of the things that separates these people when we're looking at them. It's, okay, you won the title, but how many times did you defend it? He's got zero. That's the problem. Whenever you talk about GOAT status with that guy, that's the one thing that's going to come up.
Yeah, correct. I got good news for you. You were wondering about somebody the other day. I think we were talking about Dana White Contender Series. You brought up Brock Weaver. Goes, he's got a fight. Yeah. Cool. I mean, this isn't normally a fight I talk about because we don't have as much time to glance over every story. But look, until there's an event the following weekend, a preview, it's a little slower this week than it has been the last couple weeks where we had three fight cards in 8 days. So there's a lot to react to pre and post fight. But Goz asked about him, so I wanted to share the news. He's actually fighting on May 30th, where we got to see him over there at the Apex Center. Well, I think it's just the Apex, right? Do we call it the Apex Center?
I do.
Yeah, all right. He's fighting Roosevelt Roberts. And that, folks, is the card that's been it's going to be headlined by Tyron Woodley against Gilbert Burns. It's in Las Vegas at the Apex. So if any of you have been out of the cycle for 24, 48 hours, that wasn't all completed. That news wasn't all complete, but I can tell you that now it is. And that's what we got.
When they announced that he has a fight, I believe that they should also announce that J-Rock is going to be there. Isn't that his name?
I think so.
He should get like a byline, right? Like almost like a pro wrestling manager, like Paul Heyman. That guy was fun.
Yeah,
I agree. Especially if it's at the Apex.
Here's how that card looks so far, aside from Roberts versus Weaver. There's Woodley versus Burns, Hannah Siffers versus Mackenzie Dern, Clitson Abreu versus Jamal Hill, and who knows, maybe there'll be some other fights that break between now and then. I imagine they got to fill up the card, and this will be a full 12-fight, 13-fight card because they said they got a lot of catching up to do. So now another thing that we're sure of is UFC 250 is in June. It appears to be back on June 6th. I was hearing June 6th wasn't going to happen and that it might be pushed back later to June. The UFC, when they were promoting it, last week during their run of cards, they just said in June. But I'm starting to hear that 250. Now this you can't take to the bank because it's not like come through the official channels of the UFC or junkie sourcing or anything. This is just what it appears like to me. I see this booking with Neil Magny and Anthony Rocco. First of all, great matchup, right?
Good fight. Yeah.
Okay. They're at 250, and 250 looks like June 6th. In Las Vegas at the Apex. It's going to be a pay-per-view. That's why it's this numbered series of 250. But the only title fight I see is Amanda Nunes and Felicia Spencer. So I would imagine that card still needs a lot more meat on the bones because you're charging for that card. Mm-hmm. And you're coming off a card that was so epic in April or May. Unless the UFC were to go, come on, we just gave you this doozy, you know, lay off a little bit over here. But that's not how MMA fans work.
No. And that's kind of what happened, right, with the subsequent cards. So I think we've already passed that. You're definitely going to have to put a lot more meat on that plate if you want me to pony up that much money.
Here's what else they got going on. Devin Clark versus Alonzo Menafield. All right, cool. Ian Heinsch versus Gerald Meerschaert. All right, cool. Jussie Formiga versus Alex Perez. All right, cool. Charles Byrd versus Maki Pitolo. All right, cool. Neil Magny versus Anthony Rocco Martin. Chilling, great. But those are sides, Goz. If we're at Texas Day Brazil, we've just walked around the salad bar and the au gratin potatoes and the feijão. What's it called? The feijola. Whatever, the beans, you know, the rice and all that. The meat still hasn't come. The meat are those ranked, those highly ranked stars that sell pay-per-views. And so far, that's just Nunes and Spencer. The other ones are either yet to get there or they've been there and they're on their way down, but they're not top 10 people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We need more of that.
I agree.
Yeah.
It definitely needs more of that. That's just not enough.
Yeah, because again, this is a numbered series and it appears.
But it's got to be big names. That's the thing.
I know, man.
And really, when you look at it, like, who's left that would just completely be
what if they told you,
surprising?
We'll tell you who's next, fool. Jones versus Ngannou.
Nah, that ain't going to happen.
Well, no, I know, but let's just say they did. And today's May 21st. Would you be like, fuck yeah? Or would you be like, oh, man, they're not going to be at their best? It's only 3 weeks away. Have they been training, you know? Or are you a greedy MMA fan that'll take it? All right, give it to me.
I know France is going to be pretty close to his best, but...
well, actually, yeah, he's always in shape.
John, I don't know what he's... I don't know that he's been training like that or something like that.
Actually, so now, they'd only go 15 minutes. They wouldn't go 25 because there'd be no title at stake.
But it would be a main event, no?
No, because Felicia and Amanda could be the main event.
Oh, that's true.
So would you take it? Are you fiending for Amigos that you'll take that now? We're not going to get the stadium.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I know we keep talking about a stadium in about a year.
I guess. Yeah. But honestly, like, ugh. Yeah, I'd take it.
Here's a few more, and then I'll tell you about a fun story. Carl Roberson versus Marvin Vettori. Remember they went at it in the locker room? Or, sorry, in the elevator. Lobby? Yeah, the elevator area, the lobby. Vettori was really, really pissed off and emotional at Carl Roberson. They're scheduled for June 13th. Now, at this point, folks, it's not like, where are they going? Austin? Are they going to London? No, man. It's either going to be at the... I think if the Apex Center is starting up, it's most likely going to be there until we hear, guess what? Behold, Fight Island. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we haven't heard that yet. So I imagine every time we tell you these things, just keep thinking Apex.
Even then, that's Nevada, two guys that live
the governor
in the
goes, what are you guys doing? We've been reinfected. Then I imagine think Florida or Fight Island. I mean, I don't know, you know, but just keep thinking Apex. There's Raquel Pennington versus Marion Renault, June 20th. All right. So they're filling in some cards here and there. And yeah. Jordan Espinoza versus Mark De La Rosa, June 13th. Roxanne Modafferi versus Lauren Murphy, June 20th. You know, we're not knocking anybody's socks off, I guess, with some of these. How about this one? Here's a feel-good. Max Holloway. Have you seen, geez, what's it called? What's that thing that Dana White was doing with Halle Berry? Fan-sided? No.
Oh, the contest?
Yeah.
I don't know what it...
There are things you can bid on, right?
Yeah.
And then you get that opportunity. Okay. So Max Holloway is doing something different or something similar. He's offering private training and dinner in exchange for Hawaiian food bank donations. That's admirable, man. You know what I mean? Any way that you can help, even if it's using your stardom, your time in a time like this, and if somebody can come true. Through, I sound like Max there, can come through and give that type of a donation to your community. Man, that's amazing. I applaud that young man.
That's so cool, man. He's one of the really, really nice cats. Like, when you sit down and talk to him, he's got a good heart. And honestly, like, if you read the article, I didn't see anything capped on there that said, like, you have to donate $1,000 or whatever to get that. Like, who knows? I'm sure there's some sort of minimum. But if it were that low, I think they would have specified. So that's an hour of his time, more than likely. That's pretty big for that guy to do. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, Alistair Overeem just defeated Walt Harris. It was a good run of heavyweight fights. But just like we talked to Ben Rothwell the other day, you'll see a recap on that soon, folks. If you see Ben Rothwell... you know, a story on the front page. It'll have a writer's name and it'll say Junkie Radio most likely, or maybe George and Goes or one of our names. That's us. You can check it out. Share, retweet, all that. Rothwell stated, man, there's nothing better than when you win, taking on someone that wins. It's just, he says, I've been around in the game. He goes, that momentum carries over into your fight. It makes the fight more meaningful. Check out Alistair Overeem. He's saying he wants a rematch versus Jarzynia Rozenstruik. Remember, he was doing really good in that fight, but Rozenstruik knocked him out, goes, and split his lip. You know what I mean? So he says, I fight him again. I'm going to finish him. What are your thoughts on him kind of taking a step backwards and fighting Rozenstruik instead of applying what Ben Rothwell has known, what the old matchmaker Joe Silva used to say, you know, winners versus winners, losers versus winners, losers versus losers, and you just keep on building that momentum until there's this big collision of forces at the top that it becomes a number one contender fight or the actual title fight.
I think it's perfect. I think it's great to think that way because
you like that he's going backwards.
I don't know that he's really going backwards because yeah, he won, but the guy he's offering to fight is a guy that beat him, that finished him. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it, Rozenstruik dropped and Alistair moved up and they just met up again at the same spot. When there's a clog at the top of the division, what else are you going to do? You know, at least maybe try and get that one back. I'm sure that's something he, who was it, Miguel Torres with the big scar on his forehead? He said, every time I look at that, it's a scar on my soul.
Is that Benavidez that gave it to him?
I think so, yeah. So I'm sure he looks at that every day and thinks, man, I want to get this one back. So now's the perfect time to do something like that.
Well, Christoph Jocko, he's targeting Uriah Hall. Remember, they fought once. Big, big win for Uriah Hall. I think it was in Pittsburgh. Eric Nixick talks about it all the time. They dug deep for that one.
Yeah.
So you're right. Maybe there's just some fighters that need to get that, you know, to move forward. It's maybe some sort of a mental thing. I don't know.
You know, Ben actually had me laughing when he said a lot of, if you guys have the chance, please go listen to that interview.
Benson Henderson?
No, Rothwell.
Oh, okay.
When he was talking about all that stuff and asking for fights.
It was a fun interview, wasn't it?
It was, but he said something that was so funny because we were asking him, like, who do you want next? And he said, what does it matter? He goes, every time I ask for something, nothing even comes close. And he gave the options. He goes, look, I asked for a certain guy. They tell me you're fighting Stefan Struve. He's like, wasn't he retired? So that was kind of weird. Then he asked for two more guys and they go, you're fighting OSP. He's like, isn't he a light heavyweight? So he just said he's over calling people out. Like he likes to do it. It just never works out for him. And it already looks like, I think he said it looks like Olenek's already going to be booked. So again, somebody asked for, he's not getting. What do you think he has to do or a fighter has to do to get what they want?
Well, he had a good sense of humor about it, first of all. And what he needs to do,
that would be frustrating.
I guess turn down fights. That's not even close
to what he's asking for.
First of all, if you get on a win streak and you do that little, what do we call it? The Kenosha
Shuffle?
The Kenosha Shuffle. And the Viking, the laugh. Mm-hmm. And then you do a series of interviews where people are just digging you. Maybe you get active on social media. And I don't know. But if people are just wanting more Ben Rothwell, then guess what you do, goes, you turn down fights. No, I'm not fighting OSP. Give me this guy. What happens is the UFC is going to go, well, then guess what? We don't have anything for you for about a month or two, maybe six. And then you kind of chill a little bit. But then the UFC is going to realize, fuck, everybody loves Big Ben. He's winning. He's healthy and all these other fights. All right. And then they come back. So you use a little bit of that leverage when you have it. Now, the UFC can play a little bit of hardball. So you just have to be professional in turning down fights. I don't think you just be a jerk and go on social media. Can you believe these jackasses? But if you do something like that, then yeah, maybe eventually they circle back and get something. That or you play the role, Dana, what's up? You know, I'm here to fight and I'm showing you that I'm a company man. Give me something. But you know, something where he's forced to. You ever seen Dana's face when you finish somebody in the octagon? Mm-hmm. He's standing there and he's hanging on your every word because he has no other choice. I mean, you just please the boss. Picture Dana White is an emperor, a Caesar, and these guys are gladiators. When have you ever not seen in some sort of a movie that when the gladiator wins and the crowd's going nuts, usually the emperor is pretty fucking happy at that point. You know what I mean? So you got to use that time and talk to the emperor maybe, you know, and get him because he's the one that usually controls the big, big fights, the main events and the co-main events. He has a big, big say in that. The matchmakers put together the rest of the card, and I'm sure they have suggestions, and I'm sure they've come up with, you know, main cards and co-main. I don't mean to diminish them at all, but Dana definitely is involved with stuff like that. Who's fighting, who's headlining fight cards, or fight nights, I should say, or ESPN, or the pay-per-views, you know what I mean? So I think that's what his route would be.
Yeah, that's probably a good strategy.
Let's finish up with this. These are some of the fight cards that are being built. I want to point everybody towards MMAJunkie.com. Check out the tabs at the top. I often get asked about this, and here's a good explanation. Schedule means all of the rumored cards that are being put together. You'll see a date, a location, well, maybe not now, but a date, location, and then the rumored fight card. And if they're there, it's because there's kind of been an official announcement, either by the fighter themselves or the UFC. Like, for example, there's a fight night. Now, I don't know if they're going to call it an ESPN Plus card or just on ESPN or what, but it's a fight night. On June 13th, Marlon Moraes versus Peter Yan, Jordan Espinoza versus Mark De La Rosa, Carl Roberson versus Marvin Vittori. Probably going to happen here in Vegas. Although, wait, Peter Yan, he's international.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be Fight Island? Or did he get back in? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's the part where we don't know. So, what's the next one? 1 week later, on June 20th, again, we'll call it a fight night. And on that one, you have Curtis Blaydes and Alexander Volkov. Come on, Goz. That deserved at least a, ooh, I'd like that.
That's a good one.
Okay. Did you hear Carlos Correa when they told him all these fight cards that were coming up? And
he's saying some funny shit.
Yeah, he said, talk nasty to me. Something like that, right? Talk dirty to me. Check out the Q&A with shortstop, Houston Astros shortstop Carlos Correa and Mike Bond. Mike Bond was giving him some good news about MMA, and he goes, ooh, talk dirty to me. Marc-Andre Barrio versus Oscar Piachota, Jillian Robertson versus Tayla Santos, Roxanne Modafferi versus Lauren Murphy, Raquel Pennington versus Marion Renault. And then later on in June, there's another fight night. That one is, and by the way, Dana White Contender Series is supposed to start in June too. So this is where we might start getting a little bit of the Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, you know?
Have you made up your mind yet? Are you going or not?
You mean because of COVID-19?
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm still watching just the news. You know, if everyone's wearing a mask and making the effort, sure, I'll go and I'll wear my mask. And yeah, I mean, I'll wash hands and, you know, I'm not going to be fist bumping or anything like that. But you know, I'll just keep gauging the news.
Food trucking?
I don't even want to say it, but, you know, those second waves or whatever, you don't want to be a part of that. Not just for yourself, obviously, but for everyone else. Food trucking? I don't know, man. I think I just want to get in and get out.
I think so, too.
Viviana Araujo and Jennifer Maya, Alexa Grasso, and Ji Young Kim for June 27th. You know what? Don't hold us to some of these because some of these are a little fishy with the international names. Maybe we haven't reshuffled the deck there on schedule, but I'm pretty sure they'll do that soon. I'm going to bring it to their attention. Results, the one right next to it, is everything that has happened. So if you ever have a brain fart and you can't remember and you're talking with your buddies, that we have all the results there. You can go back 12 years if you want. It's all there. Rankings, every Tuesday we refresh them. And those encompass all of mixed martial arts, not just the UFC. So check those out. All right, an early bounce out here. Remember, there's all of our shows are over at Sportscaster. We've been doing on Wednesdays. If you want more Junkie Radio, we covered a lot on that one. We talked about Woodley and Burns, Ngannou and Jones, the odds, the update on Habib's dad, which, by the way, remains the same. He's in an induced coma. Abdulmanap is his name, Nurmagomedov. He's been infected with COVID-19 as he was having some heart procedures done. So pray for him and his family. That's Habib's dad. Follow Goz and I on Twitter and Instagram. At MMA Junkie George is me. At the Goz is him. The radio show is at MMA Junkie Radio. Nothing going on for us this weekend, but keep it locked and loaded on MMA Junkie throughout the weekend. I'm sure there's going to be more fight announcements because, again, the UFC is starting to plan out their cards and they're going to fill in on the Woodley card, May 30th. The Nunes card, June 6th, and then as we continue, 13, 20, 27, looks like they're going to do stuff. And then remember, second week in July is usually a big card. That'll probably be a numbered card, and I think now you're getting into Usman Masvidal territory, Goz. Again, no fans, but they're fights, so slowly but surely. All right, folks, we're out of here. Go out there and be a champion.